Good morning. Good morning to all who are online today and listening. And we know it's a hard time. It's the second week of recording our worship service. Churches are empty everywhere, and they're recording live or the sound. And God is with us. Even though we're separated, we miss one another, God is with us, and He will bring the scattered body back together soon. So we hope it's sooner than later, a couple weeks, 3 weeks. So Easter, which is supposed to be in 2 Sundays, most likely we will not have our big gathering. But that first Sunday we come back, we will have a grand celebration and celebrate our Lord's resurrection. A few things just want to highlight. So with that being said, there will be flowers that Sunday. So keep considering on donating and in honor or memory of a loved one, and you can contact Antoinette Krasnowski for that. And if there's any need that you have, you know, we do have Banquet of Blessing. There are people in the church who have offered to drive you or pick up stuff, so just let us know. Call me at church. We want to be here to help each and every one in need. Well, there is a small group here in the church entering into worship, and we're going to continue in our worship now, and the Lord be with you this day and always.
In our call to worship. Lord, is our light and our salvation. Join with me, please. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the stronghold of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? We ask one thing of the Lord, to dwell in his house all the days of our life, that we may gaze upon his beauty and seek him in his temple. We can remain confident in this, that we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Shine on me.
Heavenly Father, we worship you. We love you. We need you. We do pray your light will shine so brightly in this dark time. But, oh Lord, we will not be afraid because we can trust in you, our refuge, our strength. Receive our worship. We love you. We need you. Whether we're gathered in a small group in a church or in our home or out and about on a phone, we gather as your church. Jesus, you are the head of your church. We worship you. And Holy Spirit, fill us for this time. Come and breathe new life within us. Awaken your church. Revive this land, Almighty God, and draw your church together as one, even now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from the book of Psalm, chapter 123. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. And our second reading comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Mortal, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and says to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In response to the reading and hearing of God's word, let us bow in a time of prayer of confession. God of grace and truth, In Christ Jesus, you came among us as light, shining in darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted the good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little, hoping for less. We repent. We confess our sin. Let us just take a moment to silently confess our sins now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercy, for your forgiveness. Also forgive our doubt. Renew our hope so that we may receive the fullness of your forgiveness, your grace and mercy, and live in the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Through the eyes of the man in the
Much of our normal life, as we've known it, has been stripped down to the bare bones. I mean, the things that we've hoped in, the regular things, you know, the going to school, going to the library, you know, serving myself coffee and cumbies, you know, going to the hardware store. You know, things have been stripped down to bare bones. Social gatherings, sporting events. Can't go to the dentist. Maybe you can go to your dentist. I can't go to mine for a while. Restaurants, cafes, churches remain empty. Well, there's a few here today. Thanks be to God. I'll keep filling in. We have been sequestered until further notice. Stay safe, stay home. It's good until this thing passes. The tide will be stemmed. But everything's stripped down to bare bones. We're physically separated from loved ones. You know, some are in convalescent homes. You can't go in. Others are self-quarantined. You know, better not to have the grandkids or neighbors. Just stay home and don't let anybody come around. Others are scattered throughout the country. Vacations, plane trips, canceled till further notice. This COVID-19 has literally changed life as we know it, disrupting our plans, our spiritual practices, mission trips canceled, retreats, conference annual meetings. What about confirmation? What about vacation Bible school? Aren't there some weddings coming up? What about Camp Squano in the summer? What about Easter in 2 weeks? At times we may feel like we just can't catch our breath. Or that maybe we've been cut off from God. Has God left us to ourselves? This year, Lent is more real than ever. It's meant to be a stripped-down time to take a lot of things that we usually do, just don't do them a lot, and to be focused. And with everything stripped away, the Lenten dirge goes on. And you know what? I don't mind that so much. Because we want to walk this path with Jesus, because we are a resurrection people, because we want to go with Him. We don't want to fall asleep. We want to pray and be with our Lord, that when we celebrate the resurrection, we are fully alive. So a little dirge for a while. We can lean into this. So in Ezekiel 37, the Lord teaches the prophet what his vision of the dry bones is all about in verse 11. It has a powerful meaning and necessary for all of our lives. The Lord says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are completely cut off. Well, they were exiles in Babylon. Captured because of their disobedience, because of their sin, their idolatry. They were worshiping everything but God. And now those things have been stripped away. They were oppressing the powerless, corruption from the top down, the political leaders, the religious leaders, down to the common folk. But it's not the end of the story. It's just where they are, in exile. In a place they hadn't planned on, that they ended up in. And this is why God gives Ezekiel a vision for their future. And he commands the prophet to prophesy the word of the Lord. Speak the truth to those who are slain. To those who find themselves in a grave-like existence. To all who have lost hope. You know, there are cries going out all around the world, close by and far away, that echo the same. Just like the Psalms of Lament, and the Psalms of Lament are good ones. Psalm 102, my days pass away like smoke and my bones burn like a furnace. Psalm 33, my strength fails because of my misery. My bones waste away. Psalm 22, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. In these Psalms, in the cry of the dry bones, as well. It's all despair. It's all grief. It's all hopelessness. But the vision in Ezekiel 37 is all about hope. It's about restoration. It's about promise. It's about the return of the children of God to their heavenly Father. It's about the rebirth of a nation. And yes, it's even for Christ's church. The awakening of Christ's church. All will catch their breath again because of God's promise. All will rise up. All will be awakened. This is our hope in God. This is our hope in God too. Hope is not wishful thinking. Oh, I hope this passes. I hope it's sun's out today. You know, I hope for a good birthday present this year. No, this hope is not wishful thinking, but it's total trust in Almighty God. God is our only hope, therefore we hope in Him. In the Old Testament, God is recognized as the hope of Israel, the hope of the children of God. In Romans 15:13, it says the God of hope. Hope is God-grounded. Hope is God-sustained. Hope is God-directed. Hope is a reality in which we may dwell safely, securely. God is a rock that cannot be moved. Therefore, hope is at the same time the response of God's people to God's active presence in their midst. Our response to God's activity amongst us. So hope is expectation expressed in faith, confidence, patience, endurance, and eagerness. So then what is misplaced hope? Misplaced hope leaves us lying parched and lifeless in a valley, a deep valley somewhere. And that's where the vision given to Ezekiel, that's where we go now. He saw a great valley of dry bones. God showed him in an instant. Dry bones bleaching in the sun. A great army, maybe a mighty people. They've all died. Their bones lie exposed to the elements. Ezekiel stands in the midst of the valley. The Lord enters the scene and causes Ezekiel to pass by the bones to go through them. And lo, they were very dry. Verses 1 and 2. After this, the Lord asks, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, O Lord, only you know. Only you know. And the Lord commands, prophesy to these bones and say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause my breath to enter you, and you shall live. So Ezekiel prophesies. He preaches the word of the Lord. And the word comes true. There's a noise. There's a rattling. There's a shaking. And the bones come together, bone to bone. And the sinews and the flesh come upon them. And the skin covered them. But the bones are just kind of laying there. There's no life. There's no breath. They're just waiting. So the Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy unto the wind and say, "Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." And Ezekiel prophesies. Then you can almost hear that great company draws in breath and lives, stands up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. What a picture, what an image. We need to know and embrace the fact that God is our God of hope. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The Lord told Ezekiel, keep telling the people. Keep preaching the word. You know, don't abandon the word of God. My people abandoned me, they abandoned my ways, but don't you abandon the word of the Lord. Keep prophesying. Keep speaking the truth of my word. That's a good word for the church going forward, isn't it? For our culture, for everybody around us. For the Lord says, I will open the graves. Is there a lot of spiritual death around? There's a lot of darkness around. May God open the graves. I will bring you out of quarantine, my people. Might be another way to put it. I will cause you to rise up. I will bring you back, O my people. I will restore you. I will put my spirit within you. You will come back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I have done this. He says that three times in the passage that was read. I am the Lord. You will know it, and that I have spoken and I have done this. The Lord wants us to realize that for many, their hope may be diminished in this day and age. Maybe some of the church is discouraged, church capital C. But He wants us to know that even though we're scattered and dried and maybe bleaching in the sun for now, we are to anticipate the breath of God. A great awakening like never before. There will be a noise, a shaking, a rattling. The church will come together. Again, we will stand up. We will draw in the breath, the Spirit of God, and come alive. And that moment is sooner than later when the church rises up and steps out in faith boldly. Because the power to hope comes from the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit that is breathed within us, breathed into us. It's synonymous with the living, indwelling Christ who is in you by faith, the hope of glory. So what is the gospel hope and truth of that today for us? That which the Holy Spirit empowers. Well, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me by faith. The same power. And in Luke 4:17 following, Jesus in his, I believe he's in his hometown church, synagogue, he says this of himself and the church for this day and age, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The things that Jesus was sent to do, that he was anointed to do by the Spirit of God, he sent his disciples to do, and he sends his church to do the same. Go and do likewise. Find yourself praying with outstretched hands to neighbors as you go by hospitals, convalescent homes. Come alive, come alive. Be healed. You know, however the Lord is leading you, now is not a time to hold back. Well, our response to God as the church, you know, what is it going forward? Stepping out in faith, breathing in that new life, praying for the great awakening. Well, for the Apostle Paul, the church's response in regards to hope is closely associated with unshakable confidence. Unshakable confidence. With rejoicing, even in the midst of challenge. Continuing to praise and rejoice. It's also steadfast endurance with boldness, with freedom, with peace, and with love. For the early church, this was all associated and connected to the hope of Messiah. Messiah will come back, redeem Israel, will come back for His bride, the church. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, who is the head of His church. He's our living hope, so we eagerly await Him as we join God where He is working all around us. Most importantly, for all listening today, our God is reaching out to us individually and corporately. But take that invitation, that reaching out to you. He wants a deeper relationship with you. Like never before, His love is so strong that has never changed, and He's inviting you into a deeper personal relationship with Him. God wants every dry bone to come alive in Jesus' name, now and every day going forward. If you feel spiritually lost or spiritually dead, today is the day of salvation. It is the day to come alive. And God says, then you will know, my people, that I have done this. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. So if you're listening to this today, along with myself, let us open up our hearts to the living Spirit of God today. Invite the Holy Spirit in to come and to fill you. And He will, because Jesus has overcome. He conquered the grave. He is our living hope. And it's time to be awakened, to come alive and rise up for Him. The victory is won. Jesus is risen from the dead. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father God, others have actually driven us to our homes, but in our houses, you have kept us safe. You're calling your church to hit their knees, Lord, to speak life into us. You're calling us to step out, to find out who we really are in you, Lord. Oh, we give you so much thanks and praise. You let us live to see these days, Lord. We are your answer. You want to speak life through us, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord, to do just that. We pray for this whole congregation, everyone who's here, who is not here, those who just can't make it out, our shut-in people. There are so many, Lord, names upon names. Those who've been lost, I know Melanie has lost a family member close to her. Lord, I just ask you your compassion for those who suffer in loss as they adjust their lives to now go forward without that one loved one. Keep them strong in you, because that is our life. Where we draw sustenance is from you and from your word. And we give thanks, Lord, even in the midst of such tragedy. We pray for those who are sick. We have Rob and Jeannie, and she, as a caregiver, has to stay strong for Rob. Even in these days, the care one takes for another, Lord. Help us to call out to all those who aren't here today. Make sure that they are all doing well. And even guiding them if they have a way, an electronic device, to even hear the word of God. I think the enemy tried to send us away to a place where we were separated. But I see your activity going, I have a plan. And you have implemented that to draw even more people to yourself in this time of what seems like seclusion. But to you is drawing close into your presence, that we might see the work you are doing. You're shaking that which should not be and bringing to life that which is among us, that we might see more growth and more people coming to find out just who you are. Lord, we praise you that you can upset that apple cart so well that we should be just praising you in every step that we see going on among this generations of people in tragedy at this moment. El Haye was your word this morning. God of my life, I want you to be God of my life. Fully surrender to what you are doing within me, within this church, within the body of Christ as a whole, Lord, calling us to get on our knees, to repent, to call the nation to repentance, and to stand up alive, an army renewed in strength because of your breath of life. So we thank you today, Lord, that the few have gathered and that your season is coming. I know it's Palm Sunday and I know it's Easter. Right in the middle is Passover. What an interesting time that we should be where we are in these moments, sort of concealed in a safe place. We may not understand, but you certainly do. I just thank you, Lord. I am anxious and excited and expected of what may be in the midst of your calling your church to life, renewing that commission and that commitment for us to step out, to step up, to stand up, and to be that army in the valley of dry bones. Lord, we thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank all the congregation, maybe even outside the congregation, who have been sending in tithes and offerings, and many have signed up online to give gifts, their gifts now. And, you know, it's a challenging time, but God is faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. Many are bringing items to the banquet of blessing, and we do have folks within our church that lean on those resources. So thank you for the gifts. We have folks from our community that lean on those gifts. So thanks again. And let me just say a brief prayer of thanksgiving and to God. Heavenly Father, you have given us all good gifts, and we just thank you for the opportunity that you've placed before us. Yeah, things are a little bit tight. But Lord, so many want to just be there to give and to give and to give. Thank you for those who make cookies and rice pudding and put them on the table for us to take. And those who help their neighbor or give a ride. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for showing me, showing us ways that we can serve your people, that we can hold them in our heart. And we say, as one voice, here am I, Lord. Amen. One last song.
I will make the stars of life.
As we go on our way today here from this place, or if you're listening online and it's after dinner, after lunch, let us go in peace. Let us not be afraid. Our God is in control, and we have His blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. We love you. We miss you. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.